Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Imagine being trapped in a body that doesn't fit your gender identity. Most of us could not begin to fathom what that would be like. But for an estimated 2 to 5% of the population who are transgender, this is the reality they live with. A transgender person's gender identity is not a choice. It simply differs from the one he or she was given at birth. A woman may look like a woman but feel as if she were a man. A man may look like a man but feel as if he is a woman. It is their internal gender identity that does not match. It becomes very difficult to live in a body that does not mirror the gender they feel inside. So in order to express their chosen gender, transgender people may transition or change from the gender they were given at birth. Some transgender people only change their names or style of dress to match their physical appearance to their sense of self. And some also choose a medical transition involving hormones and or surgery. Society at large has not yet learned to accept these people and the personal choices they make. So transitioning comes with a host of complications that go well beyond their identity issues. According to GLAAD, which is the acronym for Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, transgender people face shockingly high rates of murder, homelessness, and incarceration. Most states and countries offer them no legal protection in housing, employment, and health care. Transgender people experience unemployment at twice the rate of the general population. In a report by the National Center for Transgender Equality and the Task Force, 41% of respondents reported attempting suicide compared to 1.6% of the general population. 90% of transgender people report experiencing harassment, mistreatment, or discrimination on the job. Today, I am going to bring you the true story of Alana Scholler, a transgender woman who lived for many years as a man named Alan Scholler, and the woman, Bobby Thompson, who fell in love with Alana for who she was inside and married her. Alana Scholler tells her side of the story in her memoir, Hung in the Middle, A Journey of Gender Discovery. That is just such a great title. Bobby Thompson wrote her memoir, My Husband Looks Better in Lingerie Than I Do, Damn It, also a really great title, to tell and explain tell her side and explain how she went from freaked out to saying I do. Now, we're not going to be taking any calls because we have a lot of information and a very short amount of time. So if you have any questions, you will be able to forward them to Alana and Bobby. So Alana and Bobby are with us today. I know that you are very anxious to hear what they have to say. So let me introduce them. Let's give them a warm welcome. Good morning, Alana and Bobby. How are you today?
Doing great. Thank you.
We're thankful to be here. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it is my absolute pleasure. And thank you for coming onto my show. Alana, you have a very interesting story. Can you just give us a general idea of what your story is?
Oh, well, you know, in my book, you know, my book is like me talking to my therapist and going back in the past where everything first started, which was in 1969 when I was 8 years old. And, you know, at that point, I rarely wanted to be in pictures because I just never liked the way I looked and stuff like that. It just didn't feel right, didn't look right. And so one day I decided to change that up, and I went in, put on my mom's dress, wig, got a little purse, put on her shoes, and come out, and my older brother started laughing and was like, "Are you sure you want to do this?" And I'm like, "Yes." And that picture is actually on the cover of my book. And because actually there was two of them, and my mom kept them both for all these years, which was super. Of course, when they saw the pictures, they thought I was just a kid cutting up. And so after that day, and it felt so right, I knew in 1969, you know, I couldn't do this. You know, I just couldn't, you know, because of the situation and public opinion, stuff like that just wouldn't be a nice thing to go through. And so I went completely hard the other direction and tried to be the toughest person I could be, playing rodeo on horses, galloping horses on the racetrack, racing cars, drinking, playing music in bars, you name it. I've been there, drugs and all that jazz, you know, just trying to escape and keep quiet about the way I felt, you know, and keep it inside. And eventually that landed me in the hospital, coughing blood up down my stomach and stuff. And so I started trying to ease off all that life. But, you know, you leave one addiction at least to another and so on. So, you know, in every thing that I went through, in order for me to enjoy it, it had to be extremely risky, you know. Mm-hmm. I just never could do something that was felt safe, you know, because I even wanted to get in the military, you know, because, hey, you go over in some combat, you might get shot and get out of this thing, you know. And
right.
So, you know, it's just, I've never had a fear of dying, you know, at all, because to me that would be an escape. But on the same hand, I couldn't take my own life or do it on purpose. It had to be an accident or doing something crazy, you know. For instance, my first wreck was at 115 miles an hour with no seatbelt on, you know, stuff like that, you know. And I had, from the time I was 16 till about my mid-40s, I averaged 2 cars a year, you know. So if that gives you a better idea of just how bad it was, you know. And, you know, eventually I started having a lot of health issues, and my doctors couldn't explain many of them. And some of them was even, they talked about it being more like a female problem than a male problem. Night sweats, severe headaches from, you know, and all this stuff, because I was holding all this stuff in. My blood pressure was out of control. They couldn't control that. And so eventually my doctors told me, said, you know, you're holding this up, something inside of you, and, you know, you got to tell us what it is, or, you know, you're not going to live too much longer. You know, you're just going to stroke out here on us. And so my first wife has worked at the same hospital for over 30 years and knew all my doctors, and she told me straight up, if you don't tell them, I will, because, you know, you got to fix this problem. And, of course, she knew I was transgendered. I'd already come out to her. And so, yeah, I told my doctor what was up, and they got me started on female hormones, and all them problems that I was having with my health just went away. I mean, I never have headaches anymore. I don't have the night sweat stuff anymore. My blood pressure is leveled off and doing great. And, you know, so everything just really turned around for the better. But then eventually, because I didn't understand who and what I was totally, because I thought, I really didn't know that much about transgender people or why I felt the way I felt. And so I started seeing guys, and unfortunately I wasn't very smart about that, and got diagnosed with HIV. And so, you know, in the book, we're going through all this as if I'm talking to my therapist and taking her back and telling these stories to her. And so it's a whole gamut of stuff in the book. It doesn't just talk about me wanting to be she and stuff like that. It takes you from the time that I was 8 years old all the way up to where me and Bobby eventually got together and become a couple and married, you know.
Wow, so what a story.
That's kind of my story.
Have you completely transitioned through surgery, or have you not?
I haven't. I mean, you know, I would love to, but, you know, it's a money factor, you know. And so many of us just don't have the money to do that, you know, and as much as we'd love to do it, and it would really help us mentally to do it. Some states have gotten where they require insurance company to cover these things, but unfortunately Kentucky's not one of them states, you know, and so basically the foot, the bill here in the states is really, really expensive, you know, and I've just never had that kind of money to do that, you know, and we keep setting goals to maybe try to do it and stuff, and eventually I might make it. You know, it's just kind of, I have to wait and see, you know.
Well, we're pulling for you, Alana. We're pulling for you.
I appreciate it. And I am on hormones. I've been on hormones for a number of years, so that kind of makes you at least feel like you've taken a step, you know. And so
right.
That kind of helps, but, you know, you still go through some pretty bad days, you know, and depression and stuff. It can be pretty rough.
Right. Well, you have a great partner. Bobby, what is your story in relation to Alan and Alana?
Okay. I had known Alan for like 15 years or so. His mother and my mother were best friends, and I will use the male name and male pronouns whenever I'm talking about memories, because I was not aware that Alana was transgender at that time, so I speak of what I understood. And then in the mid-90s, after I got a divorce, Alan and I shared an intimate relationship that lasted for 3 years. So in my mind, this person was the most masculine, aggressive, wonderful male I had ever been around. And then we parted ways and were away from each other for approximately 10 years, even though we still live in the same small town, we'd see each other on the streets and say hello and stuff like that. And then in about 2005, I started hearing rumors about Alana. But anytime I would see Alan out, nothing was ever mentioned. And then in December of 2006, I saw Alana for the first time and freaked out. And you always think within yourself, oh, it's all about me. And it was in the middle of December. We were going to a local shopping mall to shop, and I didn't know I was picking up Alana when I went over to the house to pick up someone. But it was Alana that came out, and I kept thinking, how am I going to be seen in public with this freakazoid? And then when we got there, I had the thought, Bobby, you have known this person for over 15, maybe close to 20 years. This person has been your friend. This person has been your lover. You know this is a good person. So I walked to the mall and not looked at anyone else and just gave my attention to Alana. Well, after we finished shopping, she started flirting with me. And she looked at me and pointed her finger, and I saw that light pink fingernail polish on it, and she says, "You're so cute," and it just you know, like, oh, my God, to me. And I told her, I said, look, I can be your friend because I can be friends with anyone, but if you think that you and I can have the same relationship that I shared with Alan, you're mistaken, because when you're here, you already have a strike against you because you're taking Alan away from me. And that was because my understanding was there was two different entities, two separate individuals, two different beings. And then Alan started showing up, and I tell Alana all the time she tricked me into this relationship. And then Alan gradually started turning into Alana in front of me, and I could see the femininity starting to come out, and Alana went to hug me one day, and I saw that it was totally Alana, and it bothered me, and I backed up, and she said, honey, these are the same arms that have always held you. These are the same lips that have always kissed you. I still have the same level of education that I've always had, and I can still change the tires on your car. And it was that moment that my mind started separating the two as individuals and beginning to understand that there is only one. And then, and that was probably 2007, maybe. And then it has gone through this process. Like when I have this memory, I have this memory of the most masculine individual that I've ever known in my entire life. But the person that I'm married to is extremely feminine. I've watched the transition from the masculine no longer exist, even without the surgeries and such that Alana desires. So it's not what's standing in front of me that identifies the gender of the person that I live with. It's the energy that comes from this person. So I know I'm definitely married to a female. And I got tickled on the Bruce Jenner interview recently, because one of the questions that Diane Sawyer asked is questions that I hear all the time. Does that make you a lesbian? And that's what she asked Bruce that night as well. And unfortunately, that's all part of the, in order to have understanding, people tend to put people in boxes so that they can understand where they fit in life.
Right.
So my answer to that question is, if you need to think of me as a lesbian to understand the relationship that I share with my spouse, by all means, think however you want to. But personally, I'm a person in love with another person. And let's not use labels at all if we can get away with not using them.
But right. I know many people get confused by that because they do want to find a label. But none of us are labels. And the sooner we can get rid of those labels, the better off we'll all be. So was it hard to get past the physical appearance as Alan was transitioning into Alana?
Actually, it's fun helping with the feminization. The first time that I went out with Alana was a couple months after we had started living together, and Alana was invited to return to the local support group meeting for transgender individuals. And Alana's hair is starting to get thinner and top in the front, like will happen with age sometimes. And I'm like, honey, if I'm going to be seen out in public with you, we're going to go buy a wig.
Right.
So we come home, and that was the very first time of fully seeing Alana in film. I helped her put her makeup on. I watched as she pulled the stockings up, those long legs of hers that I'll never have, because I'm only 5'2". And she slid the dress on, and we put the wig on, and she stood up, and this, to me, stood the most beautiful woman I've ever seen.
Oh.
And again, it's the spirit of this person. This is such a beautiful person that I am married to. And it has nothing to do with, it does and it doesn't. I've started to say it has nothing to do with physical beauty, but to me, it is physical beauty. as well as the spirit, the energy, that is this magnificent shining light. But
that is so beautiful. It's so beautiful that, you know, and how lucky for Alana that you were able to do that. I don't know that that's easy for, you know, everybody to do, but she's very, very lucky to have you in her life.
Well, it's definitely not something that happened overnight, you know, mm-hmm. and still sometimes it's a process, you know, to of continuing, of growing and learning and for, on all sorts of levels. And when Alana's book first came out, we got to go to the 2012 Southern Comfort Conference, and I was stuck in that label mode. I would see a trans female walking down the hall, and I would start trying to fix it in my brain so I could have some understanding. And I would say, oh, okay, so that person was assigned gender of male at birth, and now they're female, and then I would see them holding hands with another male, and I would try to say, oh, does that mean that they're dating and all that kind of stuff? And, oh, my brain would just, the circles, just my head spinning constantly, where when I finally got to the point of if I see a trans female walking down the hall and that person is presenting as female, then I just accept this person is female. This is what they're putting off. This is what they are telling me they are. Kind of like John okay. Lennon says, just let it be. So
right.
Once I quit trying to figure it out and just let it be, it's a much better place.
I'll bet. Excuse me. Alana, I'm sure that there are public situations that are very uncomfortable. So obviously you use the women's restroom. What kind of experiences do you have with that?
It really depends on where I'm at. Like, you go to a gay bar, of course, you're fine, you know. And I've been to different places where women would actually come in and play with my hair, you know, and say, hey, let me, maybe I'll whack a little bit or something. And restaurants that aren't gay establishments can be kind of difficult. A lot of my health care is taking that, takes place at the University of Kentucky, and that's pretty easy, you know. The restroom thing kind of, you know, it's not a problem there. But you have places you walk into and you just sense that this is going to be a problem. And a lot of times you just catch yourself holding it till you get home, you know.
Oh, okay.
Situations where we've had to carry containers in the car to where everything could be taken care of in private.
Wow. I guess you get really excited when they have these family restrooms for anybody.
Yeah, it's, so, you know, that's one of the things that they're really talk about a lot, you know, is restroom issues, you know, is a big one, you know, when you're out in public, because sometimes you just don't feel the freedom to go potty, you know. And it can make you a little
The things we take for granted.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you feel when people refer to you as a he instead of a she? How do you address that?
Myself, I tend to let it go. It depends on the situation. If it's somebody that I'm likely not to see again ever, I won't say nothing. I just walk away, and I won't speak to them. You know, I won't respond in any way. I won't speak to them or anything like that. But there's sometimes I think it's just better to let it go than cause a scene. Now, that's just me. You know, I know there's probably others out there that would respond to that and say something. But if it's somebody that I deal with on a regular basis, then I would be very extremely aggravated, you know. So you know, there's kind of like the saying goes, you know, there's time and place for everything. And you know, a stranger, I'm not going to give them the time of day. I'm not going to argue the situation with them. And, you know, sometimes things will be said, you know, but just not real often, like if I'm going through a drive-through window, you know, or something like that, you know, it's just, it's not worth my time. You know, it's not worth me getting upset over, and I'll be frustrated, but, you know, I'm not going to let it aggravate me and ruin my day. You know, I'm just going to go on, and they can think what they want to think, but I know better, you know, and that's all that matters.
Right. I mean, you know, and really people will think things about everybody that they don't, they size people up wrong. So it's just extreme in your case, you know, it just is. People just tend to judge, but that's more about them than about you. And I'm sure that you've realized that. You know, obviously your voice is deep still. Will the hormones ever change that?
No, actually it won't. And had I started this sooner in life, that might not have been an issue. And our kids today are getting on hormones early. So, I mean, they're extremely lucky. But, you know, when you spend your life talking a certain way and stuff, that's really difficult to change. And they've actually got a surgery that could change your voice, but it would change it so little it's not worth paying for, you know, in some cases. In other cases, it may be great, you know, it may work fine. But, you know, it's something that does kind of bug me, you know, personally. But, you know, at the same time, I don't want to, you know, start talking like this and sound all fake and phony, you know. So, you know. You know what I'm saying? You know, you kind of go with what you're comfortable with and what you're used to. And there's times where I've tried to, you know, change the pitch enough where it then throws people so bad. But, you know, it's really a difficult thing to retrain your brain and to remember, okay, you know, I need to change my voice up a little bit because here's how I'm presenting. This is who I am. But, you know, you think them things and you try hard, but sometimes you just slip, you know.
Right. So what do you do for an occupation, or are you retired?
I'm accidentally retired. I lost my job back in 2008, and after my book came out, I don't know if that's one of the reasons or not, but I can't even get a job interview, let alone get a job, you know. So I've been unemployed since 2008.
Hmm. Bobby, do you work?
Yes, I'm retired from state government, so I have my retirement income, and I started a new job back in state government, actually, on April 1st. And between retiring, I retired in 2002. Between retiring and April the 1st of this year, I would do, like, 1099 contract labor jobs or temporary service jobs and stuff like that, to where I could have some freedom. And then there were some times where I didn't work at all. But I decided that, you know, the contracts and the temporary services didn't give you a steady income. So I explained to Alana that I did some fishing and put in applications here, there, and yon. And the job that I caught, or the fish that I caught, was back in state government again.
Okay.
And I like my new job. It's good.
That's really good. So, Alana, you get to be the housewife, and Bobby goes to work, right?
Exactly. Do the dishes, vacuum the floors, make the bed, you know, mow the yard.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Okay. You know, that's what we do. Do you both have children?
That, but I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have a son. Matter of fact, that was the reason I got married the first time. My first wife was 9 years older than myself, and I met her when I was 19, and she went through all the rough years with me that Bobby didn't have to face, and everything, the drinking, the drugs, and the music, and all that stuff, and the driving fast.
Before you told Mary.
And so I have a son. I have a son. So, but I met Mary when I was 19. We got married when I was 25.
And how long were you married before you told Mary you were transgender?
About 13 years. Yeah,
about 13 years,
yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your son, has your son accepted you?
Yeah, matter of fact, he drove me to the support group meetings a couple of times, and so I could put on my makeup and stuff riding in the car on the way to the meeting because I was running late. And so he's pretty supportive. And matter of fact, even his friends back then would come in, and we had a little get-together, a little party one afternoon, and they were full of questions and wanting to know things and was like, wow, that is so cool, you know. And so even his friends were pretty accepting, you know, and the girls wanted to take me into the bathroom and fix me up and dress me up. And I felt like a six-foot Barbie doll. Not Barbie doll, it looked good, but I felt like a big doll or something, you know, that they were working on here, you know, and it's pretty cool.
That's really cute. Bobby, do you have children?
Yes, I do. I have a son and a daughter. My son is actually living with us right now. He went through a bad divorce some years ago. And in the process of buying another house and going to move out soon. And then my grandson is here 7 out of every 14 days, my son's son. So we've talked to my grandson about what transgender means. And once we explained to him, Alana's name is Alana, and because when we first got together, my grandson was hearing Alan. But just as soon as we explained it to my grandson, he has never used the improper name. He's always used the feminine name. He's always used pronouns. He's 12, and it's just amazing how you say this is what it is and this is the way it is, and children just say, oh, okay, you know, that's what it is. They understand and they go on. So I've gotten an idea for another book, to write a children's book based on the conversation that I had with my grandson, if I can just find time to sit down and write it.
Oh, what a great idea. Wow. What a great idea. Alana, what about your friends? Did you lose friends through this?
I only had like two friends. We met when I was 8 years old when we first moved here to Versailles. And pretty much, yes, I did. You know, they both eventually kind of went away and stuff like that. But, you know, you really can't. Some people it might bother, but with me it was like, well, you know, if that's what they need to do, that's fine, you know, and everything. And so I just, it didn't affect me none. I hated to lose my friends and everything. I won't say I lost my friends. If I see them on the street or something like that, they're going to talk to me, you know.
Okay.
We just don't go fishing. We don't go shooting guns anymore. And mm-hmm. I think one of my friends, it was a matter of he almost felt guilty by association, like he got picked on by his brother-in-laws and stuff like that for even being my friend, and I think that's kind of what happened there. So,
Do you still enjoy the same things that you used to do, like fishing and hunting and things like that, shooting guns?
Yeah. Actually, I went hunting this year with my son, and, of course, he was picking on me about getting me some a pink hunting outfit and a pink rifle, you know, a big camouflage outfit and stuff. And so we were joking about that. And then, of course, you know, there's been a few times where go fishing, you know, and especially I really love it when my granddaughter goes fishing with us. And she's going to be just a little tomboy, you know, so that's pretty cool. She's going to be a little redneck, you know. So.
Right. Does she call you Grandma?
No, Grandy. It's,
Grandy,
it's
okay, that's
really
cute.
Yeah, just Grandy, yeah, you know, because, you know, I don't like sir, people saying sir, but at the same time, I really don't like ma'am either. You know, I'm just kind of, as the title of the book goes, I'm kind of hung right in the middle of the two, you know, and so so I can
that's
have
the name of the book.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why the book is titled that way. It was going to be Betwixt and Between, but believe it or not, there were several books out there that had that title, and I'm like, crap, you know, I don't want to do that. You know, that's been overdone. So my book was finished, and I had no title, and I was going to bed, and I told Bobby, I said, well, I'm hung in the middle again. I can't think of a title. And then it hit me, well, there's the title right there. So you know, that's actually what hung in the – and going through the book, you'll realize that the term hung in the middle, that's what it means. It's been stuck in between difficult situations, two different situations, and trying to find a way out, you know, and stuff like that.
Right. Exactly. Over the next 5 minutes or so, why don't you both talk about your books a little bit and where they can be purchased and if you have a website and all those kind of things.
Oh, well, if you don't mind, I'm going to let Bobby do that.
Sure.
I get a little confused at times in my thoughts, so I'll let her kind of do that.
Okay, Bobby, you're up.
Okay. Lana's website is hunginthemiddle.com, and the book is available at Amazon, or you can purchase autographed copies from the website. And on the website, there's an events page where we have all sorts of things, and where we'll put this interview, and there's all sorts of interviews. And then there's a video page where Alana has done a couple different videos with speaking and stuff, one of which was with the Women in Gender Studies class at the University of Kentucky, so people might find those interesting. And then on my website is myhusbandlooksbetter.com, and you'll find more interviews and such, and more videos, Alana's website has the full first chapter of her book for anybody that kind of wants to get an idea of what it's all about and before they go to Amazon or wherever they go to purchase. And my book, of course, is also available at Amazon. And
your book is, say the name of your book?
Yes, my book is My Husband Looks Better in Lingerie Than I Do, Damn It. And Alana's book is Hung in the Middle, A Journey of Gender Discovery.
Okay. Now, you refer to Alana as my husband. Now, why did you choose to do that in the title?
That's a good question, because a lot of people have asked me that. Because initially, my viewpoint of this person that I'm married to was full masculine. And my book is something like close to 200 pages, and I've explained before it takes me from that beginning, where I was, to seeing the masculine through those full 200 and however many pages to explain my spouse. And on Facebook, I'm known as Alana's spouse, and all of my stuff that I do is my, if anybody wants to send me an email and asking questions, it's just simply alanaspouse@gmail.com.
Okay, and Alana is A-L-A-N-A, right?
Yes, uh-huh. It's just Alana and then spouse. It doesn't have the two S's in the middle.
Okay, Alana spouse.
Uh-huh.
Just one S. Spell it out, Bobby.
Yes, A-L-A-N-A. spouse@gmail.com.
Okay, good. So anybody that wants to ask you questions, they can just contact you that way?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's also a contact form on both of our websites. So anybody that's visiting the website that has any kind of questions, they can leave questions there as well on the contact form.
Okay. Have you met other couples that mirror your relationship?
Yes, we have, and it's been absolutely fantastic. When I was at Southern Comfort in 2012, I was invited to go to the WIVE session, and there were only about 8 or 10 of us there who were in support of our transgender spouse, but I was the only wife in the room who could openly of having a transgender spouse. Everyone else is forced to live in the closet, so to speak, still. That's why I came home and wrote my book, because so many of the women said, I can't voice what's going on in my life, and I have no way of comparing what's going on in my life with others because I can't talk about it. So I said, I'll tell you. And
okay.
This year, when we went to Southern Comfort, we met several couples, and it was great. We've made friends. We've had a transgender female and her spouse come and spend some time with us here at the house. You know, we've got all sorts of friends now who are couples.
Wow. Well, you guys are trailblazers, and you are a great example for other people that are either haven't begun the journey or are hung in the middle of their journey. but I am so pleased to meet both of you and to hear your story. I want to thank you so much for coming on and for sharing this so that others can see the example that you have set, and to stop, just to learn that you're people, to stop labeling and to stop judging, and to encourage others, you know, to follow through with who they truly are, because that's really all of us.
If I had a byline, my logo would be, people are just people, no matter what their life experience is.
Exactly, exactly. And that's a very, very good byline. And that's true. That's true. And hopefully one day we will get to that. I'm so sorry I have to say goodbye to you, but I am so thankful that you came onto my show. And again, the books are Hung in the Middle by Alana Scholar, Scholar. And My Husband Looks Better in Lingerie Than I Do, Damn It, by Bobbi Thompson, Bobbi Thompson. So thanks again, and have a wonderful Memorial Day.
Thank you. You too, hon.
Thank you. Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Well, unfortunately, our show is up for today, but if you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, please email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE. Randy is always spelled with an I, RANDI. So you can email me. You can also stop by my website, randygfine.com, sign the guest book, leave me comments, and I have a vast number of articles that you can read there, just all about feeling good, improving yourself, well-being, all these kind of things, and just some really just good positive stuff. So stop by my website and check that out. If you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. More followers will get the show the recognition that it deserves. And when you become a follower, you will be advised of the programming that I have coming up, which is really great. All these shows are great, and I hope you will go back and listen to the archives of the other shows that I've done, because there's so many really good ones. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Well, thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours, and have a very happy Memorial Day. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. Better way.